Lord God, we just thank you for a fresh strength. From the tips of his toes to the top of his head, Lord God, we just thank you that you revive him. Lord God, that there's a strengthening inside and outside. Lord God, that the visions that you've given him, the dreams, Lord God, we thank you for you revive those too, God. Lord God, that even today, right now, Lord God, we thank you for a newness and a freshness and a fullness of your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
These are not broken, by the way. I go to take them off, and somebody goes, oh, wait a minute. So I just thought I'd tell you these are called click glasses. And they're supposed to, if you can see them, they're supposed to click together. Lord God, we're interested in what you are this morning. We lift our hands toward you this morning. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for all that you are to us. Thank you for what you're about to do in this place this morning. Lord God, I pray that each person that entered the doors of this place today that hear my voice, Lord God, will recognize themselves as God's sheep with God's shepherd. And Lord God, that in this place there will be much, much, much done for the kingdom of Almighty God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So I'm here this morning with some thoughts in my mind that I believe that God put there. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about what I've been seeing. Last Christmas, we bought books for our elders in this place, and it had to do with, tithes and offering and all of that. And there was much. It's a very intense book. Most of us that read that book found ourselves spending much time there and asking God to show us some things. Out of that book, the Spirit of the living God has been speaking to me much. And I want to touch that just a little bit this morning, but as well I want to talk to you this morning about what I see in Christianity round about us. I want to talk to you a little bit about grace today as well, because they all connect together. I want to say to you that I came to realize some years ago that there were some off balances in the grace message. But then I grew up in the Word of Faith, and I recognized for years that there were some off balances there. And then for years, I was part of a Pentecostal church, and I recognized there were some off balances there. And on it goes. Interesting, but more recently, though, I've watched the body of Christ begin to point out, to look at the grace message, and there's a clear split between those that would be supporters of the grace message and those that are of the law. And it began to very much concern me. And I come here this morning with some thoughts for you in mind. And I want to say to you that there's a great need for the law, and there's a great need for grace. And it's not a time for us to be torn apart as a national church, as an international church, by the differences between the two. One day, while praying, I had the Spirit of the Lord begin to remind me why the law exists. And so this morning, somebody tell me why the law exists. Somebody help me out a little bit here. That's a good thought. You know, the bottom line is the law was designed, God allowed and actually had the law exists so that we could see ourselves. So that we would come to understand who we are. The law is not a life-giving force, as many think it is. In point of fact, it's a necessary thing so that we'd be able to look at ourselves, take inventory, if you like. So now I want to say this to you this morning, that here's what I see. A clear delineation, a clear, we don't believe in that or we believe in this. And while partly that's true, it has split the body of Christ in Canada. And that's not what we're here for. I want us to be able to go to the Word of God this morning and look to see how God wants this operating in this day and age and in this world, in Christianity in general. There are some things that God has begun to show me by the Word that are very important right now. So I want to say this to you right now, that in point of fact, we need the grace message big. We also need the law. And there should not be such a divide in the body of Christ as it now appears. Glenn, why do you think there is a division? Well, recently I've watched some Christian television and I've begun to notice that there are those for and those against. I want also to say to you that it's very plain to see that there are many who do not understand why the law exists in today. I want also to say to you that God did not design for there to be a mix. God did not design for us to be all mixed up and mixing the grace and the law message. And God's very clear about that in His Word, and we're going to need to do something about that in the body of Christ. I heard one of the most significant pastors speaking on these terms not very long ago, and I recognized something, that because there have been some abuses, some some things preached that people weren't sure of, there's been a kind of a hate enter Christianity. And we're going to need to correct that, even in our own congregation. And so let's go this morning to the Word of Almighty God. Let's see what God has to say about some of this, can we? So we're going to go to Galatians this morning, New Testament, and we're going to start in chapter 4 and go over to verse 21. Tell me, is it on the board? You who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Now, I brought a little different Bible that I don't usually preach from, the Amplified Bible, this morning. And because it says some things a little bit different that might advise us along the way. It tells me, you who are bent on being under the law, will you listen to what the law really means or really says? That's big, isn't it? Tell me, you who are bent on being under the law. There are some people that are so bent on being under the law, they don't even hear what the law is saying to them. So I'm hearing the Spirit of the Lord saying, being bent means you are so focused, you only want that. You are absolutely entrenched in being under the law. When I was praying, even this morning, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say this, that point of fact, God was not looking for us to have mixed doctrine. And so being bent under the law could be trouble for us in the future. For an example, there are certain things that God wants done. He's promised us things that the law will not supply, that only grace can supply it. If we're so bent because of some excesses against the grace message and for the law, that we're going to miss what it is that the Spirit of the Lord has for us. That's a big deal, folks. So this morning I want us to go, well, we'll go right on down to verse 31 before we're done here, but I want us to read things from God's point of view concerning this whole issue. For it's written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondmaid and one by the free woman. What's a bondmaid? A servant, a slave, somebody in bondage. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondmaid and one by the free woman. Who's the bondmaid? Somebody help me. Hagar, right? For it's written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondmaid, Hagar, and one by the free woman, Sarah. And what were the sons' names? What was Hagar's son's name? Ishmael. And what was Sarah's son's name? Speak a little louder, please. Isaac. For as the child of the slave woman, Ishmael, was born according to the flesh and had an ordinary birth, the son of the free woman, what's his name? Isaac, was born in fulfillment of the promise. So let me rephrase that. One was born in slavery under the law, and one was born out of promise. Now, when God promises something, this is what we know. When God promises, He supplies. When God promises, the promise execute what's needed there. For an example, there was a promise made about the Son of the Living God, Jesus. How did He come about? The promise supplied. The promise empowered. When God promises, He empowers. Now he says, all this is an allegory. These two women represent two covenants. One covenant originated from Mount Sinai, where the law was given, and bears children destined for slavery. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia, and she corresponds to and belongs to the same category with the present Jerusalem, for she is in bondage together with her children. But the Jerusalem above the messianic kingdom of Christ is free, and she is our mother. So let us once again read the scriptures that this has to do with. We're talking about two covenants. One covenant, the covenant of the law. The other covenant, what would that covenant be called? Pardon me? Covenant of grace. So we're going to see an allegory. We're going to see God describe some things and why they happen around about us. But if God makes a promise to us, His promise is empowered by what? Grace. So what we have here are two situations, two covenants. One, the covenant of the law, and the other, the covenant of grace. What's going on around about us is that there are many that are saying, we don't believe. We need the covenant of grace. Big, 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 big. And to shut that down because of some abuses along the way is wrong for us. That's right. Well said. We need to be careful, as we always try to be, with what the Word of God says, working together with the promises of God. But hear me now. If we come into an exclusion of the covenant of grace, that which empowers the promises of God goes away. So you understand, it takes grace to deliver the promises of God. If you have decided that grace is not for you, then you've decided not to allow God to fulfill His promises in your life. That's a big deal. Around us, there are those that have read the Word of God for many years, but have taken exception to the preaching of grace and decided they're going back to the law. The key deal is the reason that there is a law, a covenant, is to explain and cause us to understand who we are, what our inventory is, and what can happen under the law. The deal is, God wants us to understand the covenant of grace through the eyes of who we are in the law, but to accept the promise is actually a power in itself. If God promises something, there is a power there called grace by God. You need it. I need it. There can be things going on around us, things that we're believing for, things that we believe God said, but because we've decided that this covenant thing, a covenant of grace, is wrong, we're not accepting that power that's required to fulfill for us in God. Can you understand that? I'm going back to verse 25. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia. What happened at Mount Sinai? The Ten Commandments. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia, and she corresponds to and belongs to the same category with the present Jerusalem, for she is in bondage together with her children. So you understand the covenant of the law covers even the Ten Commandments. So while we know the Ten Commandments have been good for God's people over the years, we are in a different age. This is a different time. This is a time when even the Ten Commandments take us into bondage. Are you able to grab hold of that? But the Jerusalem above the Messianic kingdom of Christ is free, and she is our mother. For it's written in the scriptures, "Rejoice, O barren woman, who has not given birth to children. Break forth into a joyful shout, you who are not feeling birth pangs, for the desolate woman has many more children than she who has a husband. But we brethren, are children not by physical descent, as was Ishmael, but like Isaac, born in virtue of promise." It's really just a repeat of what we've talked about here. There are those that are born by the power, the virtue of, the power of promise. If you're born again, you're born again by the power of promise, by the virtue of promise. That's a big deal. Yet, just at that time, the children of ordinary birth, born according to the flesh, despised and persecuted him who was born remarkably according to the promise and the working of the Holy Spirit as it is now, as it was then, as it is now. So let's think what that last phrase meant to us. An ordinary birth is one where we believe, for whatever reason, that we need to give God a hand in this birth. There's something we need to do in order to give birth. And that's why the Bible says it's born according to the flesh. Despised and persecuted. Him who was born remarkably. This is what I read here. There are those who want to live according to the law only, or at least mix the faith of the law and of grace, and the one persecutes the other. And we all know who persecutes who. The keepers of the law persecute those who preach and teach and walk in grace. And persecuted him who was born remarkably according to the promise and the working of the Holy Spirit, so it is now also. But what does the scripture say cast out? What does it say? Cast out and send away the slave woman and her son? Listen to what that's saying. It's easier to say and correct to do so. Cast out the law. Did you hear that? Cast out and send away the slave woman and her son. For never shall the son of the slave woman be heir and share the inheritance with the son of the free woman. That too is a big deal. What we need to see and hear and understand by the Word of God is that if the two are connected together, if we try to live by the law and by the covenant of grace together, we won't have the promise at all. Very quiet in here. We won't have the inheritance at all. Let me read it to you one more time. For never shall the son of the slave woman be heir and share the inheritance with the son of the free woman. And then it sums it up. So, brethren, we who are born again are not children of a slave woman, the natural, but of the free, the supernatural. Can you picture something? We are still to have the law. But for the use that God designed it from originally. To take our inventory. To let us to see who we are. We're to have the law of grace, the covenant of grace, the promise of grace, the power of grace, working in each of our lives. But hear me, not together. So what happens to most people is they hear the imbalances, they hear, well, for an example, when grace first in our lifetimes began to be preached, a lot of people took the license that seemed to be being heard when they preached grace to accept sin. Even to empower sin. And so a whole lot said, oh, we can't have that. So we'll go back to the law, which we understand. You're preaching good. Bottom line is this, that to go back to the law is to take us to a place where the power of the promise is not there. And so that's why there are so many people attending wonderful churches, but they're powerless churches. Because they're mixing the law and grace together. And that cannot be in our lifetime. Neither should we hate one or the other. We need to know what they're both for, why God put them there, and operate them both. Understanding that the law does not have the power to create. It does not have that. It takes the finger and points at who we are. Shows us
that we need grace.
That we need grace is right. That's good. Very good.
Amen.
Grace has the whole power to fulfill every promise. That's huge. It's so huge. So there are people that sit in congregations like this that wonder why things aren't happening like they should. They're not happening like they should because we're mixing grace, the covenant of grace, and the law together. Can you hear that this morning? Now that does not mean that because we hear in some present grace teachings, some wrong teaching, that does not mean that we can't identify if there's wrong teaching someplace. But we need to accept, not just throw out the whole thing. We need to accept what's right, because there's plenty right. There are lots of things that the Bible identifies as grace. Over a period of time, what you're going to do is you're going to hear us talking a little bit more about grace, what God says is right, so that we can accept it gladly, run with it. Even the law will show us where there are excesses there. Because that's part of what it does. So we accept what we know is the Word. We accept an empowerment of grace. Gladly, wonderfully, celebrate that. In order to produce the miracles that God has for us today. Miracles don't take place in an area where there's a mix of believing in the law and grace. And so imagine what happens when we empower grace into our own lives. Believe on it. Imagine the graces that can return into our congregations once again. This is a big thing. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you have found yourself speaking against grace, the teaching of grace, to repent. Because our congregation, our lives, our church depends on it. So if you find you're one of those, I'm going to ask you to come and meet me here at the pulpit, because this is a big thing in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you find yourself going back to the law when grace has been preached for you, that's worse than going back to the law completely, because it's the mix that destroys the covenant. It's the mix that destroys the inheritance. So if that's you, I'm going to ask you to come and repent with me. If you are in a place where what you've been doing is largely ignoring the grace teaching, because you don't understand it, then I'm going to ask you to repent. Because this is the day of the empowerment of God's promises in our lives. Think about everything that's been promised to us and understand the promise can't come when we mix the law and the grace. Your power comes from grace. Okay, take a mic.
I'd like to add a dimension to that in terms of the thing that really spoke to my heart through the message was that, you know, in and of myself, I can be so competent at so many things. And, you know, I've got a mindset that whatever I put my hand to, you know, I'm going to strive, I'm going to do whatever I can to do it well. Which again, though, takes it back into that element of doing it in your own flesh. And, you know, it's not a conscious thing in my part that I work to doing it in my own flesh. But when I do that, then I'm not relying on or releasing the full power and the grace of God in my life. And so maybe there's many of you that are not necessarily confused about the grace message or about the law, but that there's an element where you tend to rely on your own flesh too much and not step out into the grace of God enough. Because I believe this message is empowering us to once again get to a place of being bold and being free before God so that we will obey, because that's what it comes down to. There is grace. There is grace to obey Him when He gives us a command. But if there ever was a year that I am hearing the Spirit of God say that we're going to have to take like great leaps of faith, not just small steps of faith, but great leaps of faith, such as jumping off the cliff leaps of faith. And so then there is really going to need to be a foundation in you where you're not relying on or listening to the mind or listening to the flesh, but that you're paying attention to the Spirit so that you can step out into the fullness of the grace. Because the grace is His power, His ability. It's got nothing to do with us. And you know what? Sometimes, and you know, I hate to admit that for being such a long-term Christian, but sometimes it can be difficult to let go of your own ability.
So is it all right if I say it like this, Joan? God doesn't need your help. We trust you, Lord. Jesus, we trust you. Say that with me this morning, would you? Jesus, we trust you. Try it on again. Jesus, we trust you. We don't need His help. He doesn't need our help, excuse me. We need all His help. We need to begin to rework how we see ourselves, knowing that there's such an abundance of blessings available to us. Promises. And the promise is in itself. It is called grace. We need is grace in our lives. Big. I call blessings on you. I call grace into your lives. I thank you, Lord, that you've provided that wonderful strength and wonderful power, grace, for us to be able to see the power, for us to be able to see the blessings, for us to be able to see the promise fulfilled. Jesus, we connect our faith with you for the grace that's needed in our lives. In Jesus' name. Lois.